Log Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Monday, April 10th, 2023. I'm Naima Latif. And today, the Illinois Commerce Commission reports from Springfield that it has been selected to join the newly established Advanced Nuclear State Collaborative, ANSC, partnership between the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners, NARUC, and the National Association of State Energy Officials, NASEO, will bring together state utility regulators from across the country to discuss the unique needs and challenges tied to deploying new nuclear generation. The Commissioner, Michael T. Carrigan, said, with 11 nuclear power reactors across the state, Illinois is home to the most nuclear facilities in the country, wealth of knowledge and research. And as the ICC's representative to this collaborative, I will be able to draw on the expertise from nuclear experts here in Illinois and the ICC staff to help the ANSC develop use cases and innovative regulatory treatment models for advanced nuclear reactors. Commissioner Michael T. Carrigan, who will also serve as the ICC's ANSC representative, stated this, and the University of Chicago operated an advanced teaching research isotope for 38 years, which has been recognized by the American Nuclear Society as a National Historic Landmark. Currently, the university is applying for a license to build and operate an ultra-safe microreactor at its Urbana-Champaign campus, making Illinois a first-mover state for advanced nuclear technology. Not only is Illinois leading the nation in moving toward a zero carbon emission standard, but the University of Illinois microreactor project will provide invaluable information to the ANC in real time as we exchange knowledge, said Carrigan. I am honored to have been selected to represent the ICC in this collaborative and look forward to learning from other states and national labs about new nuclear technologies. Mr. Carrigan will be representing the Commission and Illinois as a member of this collaborative. He brings a wealth of knowledge that will help advance the discussion of advanced nuclear reactors with our peers across the country, and I look forward to hearing what the collaborative's discussions will mean for the advancement of clean energy sources, said ICC Chairman Kerry Zalewski. The ANSC is an initiative of the Nuclear Energy Partnership, a multi-year cooperative agreement established in January 2021 between DOE's Office of Nuclear Energy and NARUC. With the support of DOE, NARUC has provided opportunities for state public service commissioners and commission staff to better understand barriers and possibilities related to the U.S. nuclear fleet. To learn more about ANSC, visit the CPI website or read the statement from NASEO and NARUC. If you are a consumer who needs help resolving a utility dispute, call 800-524-0795. That's 800-524-0795. Or file an online complaint. For a complaint related to transportation, call 217-782-6448. That's 217-782-6448. And you can follow the Illinois Commerce Commission on social media at ILCommerce, C-O-M-M. And this was from the state of Illinois. House reports that the First Lady of the United States last stop was an Easter egg roll and a talent show. And of course, she had quite a day with celebrations of the Easter weekend, a Lion King performance. And before she arrived, the DJ provided various songs. Children and adults alike performed to the cha-cha slide and the Cupid shuffle. And there was more excitement at the tent next door where the animatronic T-Rex was loose and walking around the south lawn of the White House. And the First Lady of the United States arrived on stage at 12:03 p.m. to cheers of the crowd. And she said, "The Lion King has amazed and enchanted children and grown-ups alike, and now they're bringing the magic to the Easter egg roll." And this, of course, is a tradition at the White House. White House also offers more reports as the President of the United States came out on the South Lawn, followed by two Easter bunnies. And this, again, is one of the White House traditions to celebrate the Easter holiday and commemoration. And, of course, White House hosted a number of children for these events. The balcony had banners decorating it that says White House Easter Egg Roll, and also had cutouts of the Willow the Cat, bunnies and eggs decorating the grounds all around the portico. And that was the White House celebration of Easter. And, of course, our White House news. The White House press update involves more information of what is happening around the world. The White House press briefing provided today gives more national news as we take a look at what has been happening around the world and the Afghanistan withdrawal. And of course, many nations are responding to the White House as it announces this withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan, seeing as how the purpose of the war in Afghanistan has been declared over, and the purpose for entering Afghanistan has ended. The purpose, which was related to the 9/11 events, were listed as the reasons for sending troops to Afghanistan, and now, since that objective of addressing those involved, said to have been involved, has been achieved, there has been a determination that there is no more need or purpose for the United States to continue its presence in Afghanistan. And as the White House prepares for today's briefing, we also take a look at recent White House announcement, and White House Press Secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre speaks more about what is the United States position on immigrants and crossing the border. So let's listen now to Corinne Jean-Pierre as she expresses thoughts coming from the president.
To Belfast, that'll be his first stop, where he will mark the tremendous progress since the signing of the Belfast Good Friday and underscore the readiness of the United States to support Northern Ireland's vast economic potential to the benefit of all communities. Next, the president will travel to Ireland, where he will discuss our close cooperation on the full range of shared global challenges. He will also hold various engagements, including Dublin, County Louth, and County Mayo, and celebrate the deep historic ties that link our countries and people. We will have more information on this trip to announce soon. And finally, I want to wish a happy Passover to Jewish Americans in communities across the country who will gather around the Seder table tonight. As the president said today, Passover is more than just recounting of the past. It reminds us of our moral obligation of state clearly and forcefully that anti-Semitism must stop. Passover is also a story of redemption, resilience, and unity, a story of people coming together with a shared faith and a shared people for a better tomorrow. With that, Zeke, you want to kick us off?
Thank you. First off, I'm Ambassador here about Passover. The president's office this morning in reference to the anti-Semitism strategy. Doug Emhoff, the gentleman, talked about as well. When does he actually want to see that strategy?
So don't have a timeline for the strategy on when we would want to see that moving forward, but clearly the president has been very vocal on the anti-Semitism that we have seen across the country, the violence. And so, of course, we're going to continue to speak to that, as I just did just now, as the president did clearly in his statement. Just don't have any update on the particular, on the specific strategy.
We've seen additional devastating tornadoes and storms over the last several days. The president might have traveled to Arkansas. There are additional calls you can read out, and what's the status of the federal support for the target community?
Don't have an update on any travel that the president's going to be making. I can say federal teams continue to work closely with state and local officials to get impacted communities the support they need. President Biden has been in touch with leaders across the impacted states. We've got hundreds of FEMA personnel on the ground. That includes over 400 FEMA personnel in Mississippi, over 120 FEMA personnel in Arkansas. They're surveying damage, assisting with recovery efforts, and more. In Mississippi, for example, FEMA has distributed more than $2 million in individual assistance, and we're committed to supporting impacted communities as long as it takes. Of course, this is something that, unfortunately, the president has had to deal with when it comes to these type of extreme weather during his first 2 years of administration, so he takes this very seriously. I just don't have anything to share on travel, but clearly FEMA is on the ground doing, and other government officials, entities are on the ground doing everything that we can to support the citizens of these two states in particular.
And one last one on a different topic. The attacks on the prosecutor in New York, on the judge in New York, in the Trump case, some directed by the president, criticism from the Mexican president of that prosecution. I understand you yesterday was welcome to talk about the citizens of the case, but can you speak to criticism or attacks on the judiciary, on the judicial system and the nation's system of governance and jurisprudence?
Yeah, I totally understand the question, and I'll just so that I'm on the record, per usual, I'm not going to speak to an ongoing case. And we've been very consistent and very prudent about that. So I'm going to continue to leave that there. But more broadly, of course, and you've heard me say this, you've heard the president say this many times, we condemn any type of attacks on any judge. Or our judicial system we have seen over the last 2 years in particular as the president has been in office. But again, I'm not going to speak to the case specifically, but that is something that we definitely condemn.
Thank you. One more on that topic. Can you just confirm or tell us how the president was informed of the charges against his predecessor? Was he briefed on this?
Do you mean, do you mean yesterday? With so look, you know, the president, clearly, and I said the president, I said this yesterday, the president's focus is on the American people. That's going to continue to be his focus. He, as he was last week when the announcement was made, of the, of an indictment, he was, of course, briefed by the senior members of his staff. Just like as we all found out, you all learned, through reports, the media reporting, and that's all I have. I don't have anything more to share on that.
And on the meeting between, House Speaker McCarthy and the Taiwanese president, has the U.S. seen any signs that China could be preparing some kind of response to this meeting? You know, any evidence that they could launch any kind of military drills like they did around Super Pelosi?
So I'm just going to be very, I'm just going to repeat what Secretary Blinken said, as you all heard him moments ago when he did his press avail in Belfast, Belgium, in Brussels, which was confusing with the topper with the president going to Ireland and the UK. He was very, very clear, and we've been very clear. We have said there is no reason for Beijing to turn this this transit into some.
DC got asked to do a lot of free speaking gigs, and then everything changed. And I started getting offered $10,000, $15,000, $25,000 to speak all over the world, now in front of over 100,000 people, live on five continents. And that one thing that changed is I started honoring that this huge mission, this massive thing.
Into something that is used as a pretext to overreact. We've been very clear about that. This is something, when you look at the transit that the president of Taiwan is doing, this is something that's been part of a long tradition, a U.S. Tradition. And so, again, we just do not see, there should not be a reason for the PCR to overreact here.
One quick one on the trip to Ireland. In the past, the president has taken members of several generations of his family with him when he's made similar trips. Can you discuss if anybody else will be coming along?
We'll have more to share. I don't have anything specific on who, if there are going to be members of his family attending the trip next week, but we'll certainly have more to share as we get closer to the day.
Along those lines, is he going to retrace his family roots there? Why is it personally important for him to go on this trip?
Yeah, just to give you a little bit more. So, again, we'll have more in the coming days. Look, the president is eager. I actually had a conversation with him this morning about this particular trip. He's eager to visit the United Kingdom and Ireland, two nations whom we have close ties to. He, as I mentioned, will have a series of engagements, Belfast and Dublin and County Louth and County Mayo. But as I mentioned, he's looking forward to this. The president is going to be highlighting, as you talk about his family, how his family history is part of that larger shared history between U.S. and Ireland. Waves of Irish immigrants helped shape America's spirit of freedom and of our drive for independence, which launched an irrevocable friendship between our two countries. So yes, that part of the trip where it connects to his family is going to be incredibly important to him, but also the broader Irish-American community as well, as we talk about immigrants, as we talk about how this country was created. So he is definitely looking forward to this trip.
On that feeling, definitely interested if you have any updates to share, conversations that have happened in this week on South Florida, but more specifically, is the White House open to a short-term increase at this time?
What I can say is what we've been saying for months now, for weeks now, which is we believe that the debt ceiling should be dealt with in a way that Congress has done so in a bipartisan way for the last couple of decades, right? If you think about the three times where Democrats came together with Republicans to lift, to deal with the debt ceiling, this is how we believe it's their constitutional duty. We do not believe that the full credit and faith and credit of our nation should be held hostage. We've been very clear on that. There's no negotiation that we will be having on that particular issue because it is something that Congress needs to deal with. So I don't have anything more to share on that. We are waiting. We're waiting for House congressional members to put forth a budget. The president did that. He showed his values. He showed how he sees the fiscal responsibility of the president as we move forward to show and be really transparent to the American people. We're waiting for House members to do the same. House Republican members to do the same.
Is the White House open to a short-term increase?
What I'm I'm saying is we've been very clear. Congress needs to deal with this issue as they have done in the last administration three times.
Any sort of reaction from the White House to this liberal judge winning in the Supreme Court election in Wisconsin? Just broadly speaking, does the White House see this as voters casting their ballots in support of abortion access and the kind of things to come heading into 2024?
Yeah, so more broadly, time and time again, the American people have shown their resolute support for reproductive freedom in our democracy, and last night was no different. We saw that clearly after the midterm elections. At every opportunity following the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, from Kansas ballot initiative in August and to the clean sweep of five abortion ballot initiatives I just mentioned in November, to Virginia's special election in January, to last night's elections in Wisconsin, the message from voters has been clear. Americans want the freedom to make reproductive health care decisions without government interference. They have been very clear about that. Yet, though, you see Republican elected officials are more committed than ever to attack those fundamental freedoms that Americans should have. And look, you have Republican officials in Florida, in North Carolina, in Nebraska are attempting to pass extreme abortion bills. You have in Congress where we've seen three national abortion bills come out this year from Republicans in Congress. And so, look, we believe that it is important for Americans to have their freedom, including their right to make a decision, and women to have the right to make a decision on their own health care. And so this is an administration that's going to continue to fight for those freedoms.
The mayoral race in Chicago, does the White House feel like there are any lessons for Democrats based on the results of that race, particularly in terms of how the party should talk about and discuss issues related to crime?
So I'm limited in what I can say as it looks forward to 24 or any future elections. What I can speak to, and as we've done many times here, speak to the president's record. He believes that we should fund the police and give law enforcement the resources they need for effective accountability and community policing. That is something that the president has been very vocal about and has taken action on. That's why he supported, again, the COPS program, and he signed the American Rescue Plan, which had $350 billion to local governments to keep cops on the beat. So the president has been very clear about this and his support in making sure that Americans.
My hand started to go numb. I dropped the fork on the ground. My body went limp and I started to slide out of the chair and got really scared at that point.
Ensure that American families and communities are protected and feel safe, and he's going to continue to do that work, but not going to dive into any specifics on how politically to move forward, especially as we get into 2024.
Yes. On that, though, I hear you being a little more laudatory in terms of the results in Wisconsin versus in Mr. Johnson's win last night.
Oh, I was asked specifically about crime and how we move forward on crime.
Did he make Mr. Johnson's
win? Yeah. Well, okay, that was not the question that I got asked. I got specifically asked about crime. Look, I can say this. The president sends his congratulations to Chicago Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson. The president looks forward to working with him to deliver for the people of Chicago. What I can say is this. The mayor-elect Johnson is a former teacher and a union organizer. His victory is a testament to the strength and organizing power of our educators. And that's something that we saw yesterday. And so I'll just leave it there.
But now, regarding yesterday and how the president learned about all this, are you telling us that he only learned about this through staffing, or did he consume any of this as a news?
I can tell you this. Here's what I can tell you, is that the president was focused on working on behalf of the American people. He met with his senior advisors, his senior team yesterday, and in the Oval Office. That's what he was continuing to do throughout the day, and that's kind of how he's moving forward. That's what he's going to pay attention to. And you saw that. You saw that in Minnesota this week, his focus on Chips and Science Act, how we're bringing manufacturing back to this country, creating more than 800,000 jobs. That is something that the president is going to continue to focus. How do we build an economy that leaves no one behind? So that's what the president is doing. I've been very clear about that. That's going to be his focus. He's not focused on this indictment. That's not what our focus is on. That's something that is an ongoing case. We will let others deal with that. Our focus is what the president was elected to do, is make sure that we deliver for the American public.
Just real quick, not a question, but a request followed up on Mary's question about who's going to the president from the Biden family and the wider clan. Can we get clarification at some point in the process of that, of exactly how this is paid? There have been questions in the past about when he travels with family and when people are staying here, about how that is handled.
Yeah, and we're not doing it any differently than other families who have been in the White House, who have held this held office, and so you know, we'll share more when we have more to share on who's going to be traveling with him. I don't have that information, so don't want to get ahead of that. But of course, the president is a president that follows the law and does these types of things in the appropriate fashion, the appropriate way.
You mentioned the president traveling to Minnesota this week. He had a meeting yesterday on artificial intelligence. You said he's looking forward to this trip to Ireland as well. In any other news environment, these might be stories that are really driving both national and local headlines. But as the question that you got yesterday indicates, there's one other story really dominating the news right now. Can you talk about the White House's strategy to make sure the president's message is getting through to the American people? And the former president's legal troubles are likely not to go away at all this year. Is there concern that this will take away from the president's ability to communicate that message?
Well, we've been very clear. I hear at the podium yesterday, as you just mentioned, and today, we've been very clear what our focus is on. I actually got questions on AI. Few questions on AI yesterday that we were able to answer and speak to from the podium. Look, our focus is going to continue to be the American people. What you all cover is up to all of you, but we're going to do our best to stay the course, to talk about the issues that matter, right? We think about the economy. Americans really care about the economy. They want to hear how the president is going to continue to lower the cost, continue to talk about. And so that doesn't change anything. We talked about AI. We went to Minnesota to talk about CHIPS and Science Act, a very historic piece of legislation that's going to make a difference in creating good paying jobs and bringing jobs back here to this country. And so, again, not going to stop to talk about these critically important issues that the American people really want to hear from this president about. So we're just going to stay the course. That's our focus.
Okay. Thank you. Today marks 1 week since the Wall Street Journal's Evan Gershkovich was detained by Russia. Secretary Blinken said today he has no doubt that Evan was wrongfully detained. If that's the case, then what's the holdup in making a formal determination?
And he also said in those very remarks that there's a process, right? There's a process that's underway, and so, we have to let the Secretary of State, the Secretary of State Department do their job here. Wrongfully detention determinations, again, are made by them, and the Secretary of State has said that while there is still a process to play out, he has no doubt on this one, right? And so I think that says everything that you need to know, their commitment, the priority that he has to make sure that we do everything that we can for Evan and also make sure that we bring Paul Whelan home.
Why hasn't President Biden spoken directly to Evan's family? Does he have any plans to keep him connected with the families of Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan last fall?
So look, this case is a priority to the president, as I mentioned yesterday. I don't have any calls to read out, but I will say that our thoughts are with Evan's family, and again, this is a priority for this president. I'll give you a little bit of an update. Yesterday, Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield, U.S. Representative of the United Nations, as you all know, spoke with her counterpart today, and Ambassador Nebenzia to once again convey the United States grave concern about his detention and call for his immediate release. And so again, the department, and I said this yesterday, the Department of State continues to seek consular access to Evan. The U.S. Embassy in Moscow have not yet received any approval for counselor access despite repeated requests. It will likely take some time.
And that is the report from the White House. You've been listening to On Air Daily News. I'm Naima Latif. And join us tomorrow for Tuesday, April 11th, 2023. Until that time, enjoy the rest of your day.